So let's introduce our topic for this morning as we are transitioning into our, I guess what would be called the sermon. Doesn't feel like a sermon, but it is, I guess, still a sermon. Words that give grace is what we're going to be talking about this morning. And I thought about a number, again, thinking about the situation that we're in, topics that need to be addressed, perhaps. I thought about a number of different topics. But in this unusual time, I think it's important to focus on our words because I think they carry more, not more significance maybe, but a higher percentage of significance perhaps, because we can't really do much. We're not doing much. Some people are, some people aren't, but a lot of us are not doing much of anything. But of course, technology has afforded our words great reach. I am speaking to 55 concurrent viewers right now. I couldn't have done that even 10 years ago, probably. So our words are the thing that we have most of all to affect other people right now, or is our words. So I want us to consider what our words should be. And as we're going to consider a lot of these words, we are going to sing some more songs, just hold on. As we consider our words, I want us to remember, and I've said this before and I'll keep saying it probably until I die. All of the scriptures that talk about words in the Bible talk about words that are typed as much as words that are spoken. Words that are typed do not have any difference in righteousness terms, right? They don't have any difference than the things that we say. Things that we type on Facebook or on our phones or on our emails are subject to all the same things that Scripture says about our spoken words. Our sermon this morning is going to be again on words that give grace. And this is Ephesians 4:29 is going to form the outline of our lesson. These are the qualities as we read this verse, Ephesians 4:29. These are the qualities our words need to possess, right? These are how our words, what our words need to be, the kinds of words that we need to have, not just now in this time, but always in all of our times, in all of our lives. This is how our words need to be. So let's read Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. So we see a nice outline here. This verse really nicely breaks down into 3 points, which we're going to talk about. We see a nice outline. First of all, what do we see? Well, we see no corrupting, right? That's what we see first. So let's read Ephesians 4:25, what it means to have speech that is not corrupting. Therefore, having put away falsehood, let each one of you speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. This is the first one, right? The big one is words that are not corrupting are true. You want to corrupt with your words, what are you going to do? You're going to spread falsehood, spread lies, tell things that are not true. And to be clear, I said some of this in the newsletter. We need to be very careful about how our words, whether or not our words are true. There's lying, right? There's also lying, which is intentionally telling falsehoods. But there's also falsehoods that are not intentional, and our words still need to be true. Even if we say things that are unintentionally false, that is still corrupting, right? That is something that takes away or distracts from or degrades the quality of our relationships and our social environment. We need to make sure to the best of our abilities, and we're never going to be totally right in this, but to the best of our abilities, make sure that our words are true, that the things we say are accurate and real and true in that way. We're going to read another text about this corrupting speech. Excuse me, Matthew 12:36. I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak. That word careless is interesting, isn't it? It's easy to let our words be corrupting because we aren't thinking about them. We aren't being intentional about our words. When we are not intentional, when we are careless in our words, we just say the first thing that comes into our head, or we say something that at first glance seems to be appropriate or seems to be good or seems to be whatever. When we are careless, then our words, again, they make our relationships worse. They're more likely to discourage rather to encourage. They're more likely to distract people from rather than encourage them to stay faithful, right? We will give an account for every careless word we speak. If we want our words to be not corrupting, right? And he's going to talk about what the opposite of that is in just a minute. But if we want our words to not be corrupting, we need to be careful in our speech, in our words, not just in what we say, but in the things we type. Again, I'm going to keep making that point over and over. We need to be careful in our speech. And we need to make sure that our speech is of things that are true. The second point that he makes in the text here, good for building up. We'll read 2 Corinthians 13:11. As you think about good for building up, finally, brothers, rejoice, aim for restoration, comfort one another, agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of peace will be with you. We see a number of qualities about words that build up in this text, right? What's the intent? We see the intent, restoration, aim for restoration. Whatever that restoration happens to be, it could be damaged relationships. It could be the idea of social distancing. There is a break there because we're not together, right? We're distanced from each other, but we can still restore the relationship with our words. And in fact, really in times like this, our words are the only means we have of restoration. So we're aiming for restoration. And what are the different methods that he lists there? Comfort, agreement, peace, and rejoicing, right? The first one, rejoicing there. These are the methods we have if our words are to be good for building up. They need to be joyful words. They need to be comforting words. And I like the duality of the spectrum there, right? There's times when I'm reminded of the text, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Sometimes our words need to be joyful. That's what builds up. And sometimes they need to be comforting because there's disappointment or sadness. We'll talk about that in the third point as fits the occasion. Comfort, agreement, living in peace. We don't want to be breaking or tearing or arguing with our words. You want to read 1st or 2nd Timothy. He talks so much about quarreling and disagreements and fighting and the idea that our words can be divisive, and that's not building up, that's tearing down, right? Another text that we could read, James 2:12-13. James 2:12-13. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged under the law of liberty, for judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. What is the point there? If our words are going to build up, they need to be gracious or merciful. And isn't that the point, right? He says in Ephesians that our speech may give grace to those who hear. Where there's an element of it's giving unmerited favor, it's merciful in our speech. That we're not just going to jump to conclusions. We're not going to say the worst thing we can about people, even if they happen to be true. We're not going to say the most negative thing that we can and technically still be truthful. And this is the balance, right? We want our words to be true, but they also need to be gracious and merciful. If they're not gracious and merciful, they're not building up. You can tear down with true words, can't you? It's not just a matter of true and false, but we're trying to think about having our speech be gracious. We're going to end with a text that says that exact thing. Third thing that he says here that we need our speech needs to be, as fits the occasion, right? And I like this text in 1 Thessalonians because it does highlight the different circumstances, right? 1 Thessalonians 5:14, we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. There's a sense in which our words are going to be different depending on the circumstance, right? Each circumstance requires maybe some different words. And that's going to be true even as we think about our circumstance now. That's true because not everybody needs to hear the same stuff. The family of Vernell does not need to hear the same stuff that other families need to hear. There are going to be some differences in how we use our speech based on the occasion, as fits the occasion. And maybe now we're going to be using more comforting words. That words that maybe we would have, sometimes when we would have maybe been holding each other accountable or been a little bit more, I don't want to say critical, but times when we would have confronted one another, that maybe we don't do that now because we're not in a position to be able to do so. So we're trying to encourage each other to stay faithful. And there is going to be a time for accountability, right? There is still a time for that. But we need to be thinking about how our words fit the occasion. I do want to read a text that sort of says the opposite. 1 Corinthians 13:4-6. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing. It rejoices with the truth. Why do I have this in there? Well, there are some qualities of words that fit every occasion, aren't there? Some qualities of words that fit all occasions. And that text, when we think about our words being loving, are your words patient and kind? That fits all circumstances. Are your words envious or boastful? Those don't fit any circumstances. It's never okay to envy or boast. Are your words arrogant or rude? Again, those don't fit any occasion. Do your words insist on your own way? Well, if love does not insist on its own way, that would be a way that we would apply a love in all situations, is to not be insistent with our words. Not irritable or resentful, does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Again, rejoicing with the truth is a thing that is appropriate in all circumstances. So as we think about words that fit the occasion, there's a balance, a discernment that needs to take place. Some of our words specifically are going to fit some circumstances and some are not, but there are qualities of speech, of the words that we use, that fit all circumstances, right? I want to conclude with Colossians, a text that I've alluded to several times. Colossians 4, 5, and 6. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. This text highlights a lot of the same things that the Ephesians text does, right? And the question I have, as we think about our current circumstance, are we making the best use of the time? I don't know. I don't know what you're doing all day. Maybe you're working all day. I don't know. Even if you're working at home, that's a thing that you need to be doing with your time. Maybe you're not working and you're just sort of sitting and you don't really know what you're supposed to be doing. That's not making the best use of the time. Are we making the best use of our time right now? Exercising wisdom and discernment, because we are separated. And to be clear, I think it's right that we're separated right now. This is an important thing to be doing for our circumstance. But taking advantage of the opportunities that you have to let your speech build up, to be gracious, to be seasoned with salt. Again, as it fits the occasion, that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Those texts are very similar, and of course, Paul wrote both of those, guided by the Holy Spirit. It's not surprising that they'll be similar. These things that we've discussed today, I hope they will help our words be words that give grace in the coming weeks and not even just in the coming weeks, but forever, right? These are not just things that apply now, but there are going to be some differences in how our words fit the occasion now, as opposed to other times in our lives. So let's end in a prayer, and then I'm going to have some more announcements after. God, we ask that you give us gracious words as we are in a trying time. Help us use our words to build each other up. Help our words be merciful and gracious, that we may show mercy in our judgments. Help our words fit the occasion as we strive to find the right words for each circumstance. God, we know that James tells us to ask for wisdom, so we ask for wisdom. Please give us wisdom to know how best to use our words to be the kind of people that we need to be towards each other and towards those who are not in the church. I am thankful for the instruction that we have in your word, for the blessing that it is for us as we can use it to discern what is pleasing to you and how best to use our speech to elevate and glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.